Are you seeking thrilling tales of adventure and superheroics? Do you crave the weekly drama of teenage hijinks and high school angst? Then don't miss the next issue of These Protean City Comics. This issue featuring
Frequency, bringing the megahertz.
It's Puck, the Doom Trickster. You're not going to remember me.
Now, with our heroes assembled, let's turn the page on this issue of Protean City Comics.
This is Volume 13, Beneath the Surface. Issue 2, Lockup. Across the cover, we see the doors of four jail cells. They are labeled Puck, Frequency, Siblings, and Windshear. While Puck's fairies try to take apart the lock, Frequency and his family try to catch up through the bars. The only form we see in Windshear's cell is on an operating table covered with a sheet.
Last time we had the introduction of Upload and Loadout, two mysterious mutant technopath sort of people that have arrived and claim to be the long-lost sibling of Frequency, Ben Schultz. They gave him a bunch of genetic information and like information about kind of like the pathway they've taken to try to find him, and more or less like gave him what he would need to sort of track them down, because they want to work with him on a job and because they want to reunite their family. And I don't know if Frequency knows yet that they want him for a... Well, they offered. They tried to make that look nonchalant. John knows that that wasn't as nonchalant as they tried to make it seem. But he also knows that they genuinely are excited to see him. So where are we going to pick up with the two of you?
Where would we...
Where would you go to see if this information is correct?
I would say, first off, if I were talking with Puck about stuff, I'm not sure I wouldn't need to go anywhere. If they left, I'd be fine still hanging out.
Okay.
But if it's at the point where it's getting late, we can go back to Peacoy. Because I think the first adult I would turn to ask questions would be Lunar Lens.
Okay. So do you want to start out there at Peacoy?
So we could even just, we don't have to be talking to her yet, but we could be back at Peacoy, hanging out in my room.
Yeah.
First. I'm not sure if I don't necessarily need to dive right into, I think I realistically
you decompress before you talk to Lunar Lens.
Ben would look that stuff over first.
Yeah.
And sort of try and make judgment himself.
Yeah.
You know, with friends. Before jumping into being let me go ask the grown-ups.
Yeah. So we definitely get a shot that shows the outside of Peacoy first with its basketball hoop set up and just a couple of kids out playing ball, and one of them is shouting to the others, "Hey, no powers." And then we get the panel inside that shows Frequency's room, which we've seen before. And it's full of all sorts of different electronic things you've been tinkering with. It sounds like lots of cell phones and stuff like that.
Yep. Computers.
Okay. Cool.
You've got lots of 80s themed posters on the wall. No copyright infringement, but you know.
Yeah, close enough.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's the name of the movie. It's got a big alien spaceship and a vaguely rounded off top mountain. It's called Close Enough.
Yeah. And then there's another one with similar faces, and it shows two actors divided down the middle of their faces. Yeah.
There's Red Lloyd. But yeah, so I'd say I want you to make yourself comfortable, but
What inappropriate thing are you sitting on?
I think that there is probably some kind of this is a big old building, right?
Yeah. I think so, yeah.
So it's got a recessed window. So there's a bit of a windowsill that he can hop up and sit on.
Nice.
It's it had some probably pieces of an old laptop, one of those thick, 3-inch deep laptops.
Yeah.
And there's probably some piece of the keyboard or something, and John is playing with it.
And out the window, we see kind of to show that things are happening at the same time, a kid with bat wings flying through the air holding a basketball.
Yeah.
And the no powers is also on this page. Yeah.
Yeah. This time in all caps.
Yeah. No powers. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think, Ben's just sitting on his sitting on the bed with the folder open.
Yeah.
And the papers and whatnot that were in there are just kind of spread out. So there's still some overlap but you can kind of see the individual pages.
Yeah.
And he's just sort of looking over everything, reading everything.
Yeah, and it's got, like, it's got everything. They've been really thorough. It has their full, like, genetic write-up with all that information if you decide you want to put them through a blood test. It's got hospital records that show that these three kids were in a crash with their parents, and the parents died. And then, like, the adoption paperwork that shows them moving into foster care, and, like, that mentions, like, a third child that was not picked up by this. They don't have your files because they weren't able to track you down. But it does also include, like, they've included some papers that show when they have done some small superheroing stuff as Upload and Loadout, and also, like, a juvenile detention record for each of them, because they had some hard times as well.
Okay.
And then that it's got, like, a bunch of clippings of every newspaper article that mentioned Frequency, and kind of, like, sort of the path that they came down to try to figure out who this is. It's got, like, a little mini file in the back that shows some other technopath kid, and, like, show it's got, like, they got his genetic information, and they included that as well just to show, like, hey, we're doing our due diligence. Okay. We're trying to figure this out.
And from the windowsill, John would probably turn and say, like, I'm pretty good at telling when people lie to me, Ben, and they seemed like they were telling the truth. But I think that, like it's and that's important. Like, I feel like I can trust them. But they were definitely there. That request for them to come help was definitely more than just a request. Like, they're not here just to, like, reconnect with their long lost brother. They're in deep on something, and, like, I mean, that's not bad, but it's, like, something to consider.
Yeah, you know, I'm looking over these articles, you know, this, you know, stories that mention Upload and Loadout, but, you know, I've never heard of them. You know, not that I would expect to hear of them, but I mean, you know, if they're trying to help the city, you know, maybe, you know, I could help. Maybe we could help.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're definitely pretty small time. Like, they're the things that they have done have been, like, you know, fighting Girdled Lizard sort of things. They haven't fought him because that would be dumb.
Yeah.
But, like, they're not going up against Sorceroct.
Yeah.
They're going up against Steam Society.
I'm picturing it's stuff like they stopped someone who was stealing an old lady's purse.
Yeah, there's definitely, like, one of those that shows them looking, like, super cool standing next to this older woman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, they've done a little bit of heroin. There's one that mentions that was, like, actually a Crawdad saved the day thing.
Mm.
But they, like, you know, they provided an assist. Yeah.
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 And John would kind of, like, continue and say, and hey, for what it's worth, like, family that cares about you and is, like, actively trying to find you and be in touch with you is important. And, like, you maybe haven't had that. So, like, don't let this just, like, go by.
Yeah.
Are you showing a weakness? Or not quite?
Maybe.
It might What's be that the, you're not
I,
yet.
I think he is.
Probably, yeah.
I don't know if you
a
mean
weakness
to
or vulnerability.
Or not,
yeah. Because he's really talking about himself.
Yeah. And I think Ben knows that. I don't know that anything else needs to be said for...
Yeah. Okay, so...
The artist did, like, an amazing job showing Puck's face having just, like, that little bit of loss on the side of it.
Yeah. So you get to take influence over me.
I already do.
So you get to shift his labels.
And then I also ask you if you think that there is hope for me.
You know, there's definitely hope for... There's hope for you. Like, people aren't forgetting you. Like, I know it's tough. You know, I don't know what it's like to have my parents ignore me. But, I mean, and I'm sure that leaves a really big hole. But you've got us. You've got the team. And, you know, we're your family. We look out for you. We remember you most of the time.
Go ahead and roll to comfort and support.
So I'm going to mark potential because he basically said yes.
Yeah, he definitely said yes.
Six.
Oh. You don't. You've got minus going on right now.
I've got a minus two on mundane.
Ooh, oh no. So I'm trying to think of the best thing to do here right now. So, John.
Yeah.
As he's saying all of this stuff, the flickers of blackness on the sides of your vision, just start to, like, just bleed in a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, and his voice is kind of becoming almost like a background noise to that almost like visual crackling.
Yeah.
That's going
on. Yeah.
And I think that's as much as I'm going to do right this second.
Yeah. And John's going to just kind of like, after a moment, shake that off and be like, yeah, of course. But like as you probably know, like friends who are family, like, is one thing, but like having family, like, you'll see, it's different. And like, I'm glad that like, you're going to finally get that.
Yeah. I kind of feel bad. Like, they have all this stuff. Look at what they've been doing trying to find me. And I didn't even give up on them. I never started looking for anyone in the first place. I thought I was, you know, just rejected, tossed aside. I didn't think there was anyone out there looking for me.
Are you expressing weakness or vulnerability?
Sure, of course.
I think so. Yeah.
It also might be a little bit of like I just sort of said, like, oh, like when family members forget about each other, and he's like, oh shit, I forgot about, or yeah. I almost forgot about these people who I didn't even know. Like, I didn't know, so I didn't forget, but like, those harsh words you were saying about, John was saying about his family kind of hit home, maybe.
Yeah, that's great. Oh, yes. Let's do that move. I love this game, and I love you guys.
You get influence over me.
Okay.
You may already have.
I do. Yeah.
Okay, so you'll move his labels.
And I ask who they'd like me to be. And I mark potential if I show you that person. And if they're a teammate, add team to the pool, no matter what.
Cool. So we're up to five team.
John is going to take whatever piece of, like, computer, whatever, like, keyboard that he was fiddling with and just kind of, like, throws it at Ben. And it's just like, hey, you didn't even know. You can't forget people who you didn't know. And now you know, and you're going to be the guy who never forgets his family and who fights to keep them safe. So, like, go be with them and like reconnect, and like hopefully they'll stick around and we can go fight with them and we can get them out of whatever trouble they're in, and then like you won't be that kind of person who just forgets about their family. So don't feel about what you didn't do in the past because you didn't know.
That's right. We just have to look forward.
Yeah, forward.
Okay.
Cool. So do you want to talk to Lunar Lens, or do you feel like you just like resolved the thing?
I think I've resolved it. Okay. I also want to attribute it partly to, you know, I'm 16.
Yeah.
I'm doing heroing stuff. Yeah. I got this figured out. I don't need to talk to someone who could give me more answers. I've got all the answers here in this in these pieces of paper.
Perfect. Yeah. They gave you exactly what you needed.
So can I mark potential now? Like,
you're going right. If our next panel is we're meeting up to do this thing.
I think so.
Cool. Yeah.
Has John, this is not for the podcast, has John ever met the Lunar Lens? Have I ever had a scene?
Yeah.
Because I know that I GM'd a game where the Lunar Lens showed up.
She was at the gala. You weren't at the gala initially.
No. I mean, you were in the same place.
There's no way, because has he been to your room before?
I'm
sure that John has been
John
around,
has been around,
but I don't know if I have ever interacted with
you. I think that Lunar Lens is enough of like a structure at Peacoy that if you spend any time hanging out at Peacoy with either Ben or Sage,
then you would have.
I mean, assuredly, you've played basketball outside and been told not to use your powers.
Yeah, okay.
No powers.
So that's not super relevant because we're not going to go do a scene with Lunar Lens. But I was just like, have I ever actually done this? I don't think so.
And also,
would you like to?
No, it's fine.
Okay. Yeah, if you'd like to, we can set that up right now.
I don't think it's fine. I think it's fine. I don't need to.
I don't think it's fine. We're not doing that.
Depending on how this turns out, we may end up having a scene with Lunar Lens anyway.
Yeah.
We may be in trouble.
Oh, no.
So the next panel maybe shows you like contacting them.
Yep.
Are you gonna call them, text them?
Yeah, I think it'd be a call. Okay. I'd call them.
So like we get the panel that shows you like making the call.
I think I'd even say like, let me give my brother a call.
Yeah. This is a really cute panel.
Like trying it out.
Yeah.
Verbally.
Yeah. The next panel shows the two of you out at the docks, and you're like over by an abandoned kind of like junkyard car lot sort of place. You know, people go get their stuff fixed up, and it's dark. It's night. It doesn't look like it's like midnight, but it's, you know, after hours definitely. And Upload and Loadout are sitting outside of the office. They're both sitting on the hood of a car that they're sitting the right way, not on a chair. They're sitting on the hood of this car, and the car is just like bristling with weaponry, and it has like weird like almost like smokestack looking things, but really small, coming out of the top of it. And they're just kind of like looking up at the sky and hanging out a little bit. Jamie has his phone out and he's kind of like tinkering around on that. And Leah sees you first and sits up and goes, "Hey, come on over.
Are we in costume? Are we here to do hero stuff?"
I think you're here to do hero stuff. Would you arrive in costume or change? Because neither of you have elaborate costumes.
I mean, if their plan is we're doing hero stuff,
their plan is hero stuff.
I'm sure the phone conversation involved like come ready.
Yeah,
so I'm sure that.
Okay. Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah. We may have even gotten
my hood is in up mode right now.
Nice. Yeah,
I think John might be not in costume right now. His costume is elaborate but easy to get into
because it's magical.
Magic.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it also stands out. And so if we're gonna like get on a train to go like take a bus or take the subway to wherever we're going,
yeah,
he's gonna just try to look like a normal person. So he'll be in like a dark hoodie or whatever it is that he wears.
Yeah.
Like a dark jacket. Actually, yeah, it's gonna be a jacket. He wears a dark jacket sometimes. Because maybe it's a little misty and it's nighttime.
Yeah.
But it still has a hood.
Cool. So they swing off the car and we get like a panel that kind of shows them with their clothing a little bit. They're in leather pants, leather shirt. It's very clear that this is a costume. It's got because you've seen their costume.
Yeah.
It's got kind of like bright stripes of color down their arms. It looks very, it's like kind of a little cyberpunky. And their helmets are sitting on the car. The helmets are not their biking helmets. They're like more kind of angular, more futuristic sorts of looks. And then the next panel shows like the four of you just hanging out outside as Jamie starts to explain what's going down. Unless you want to say anything to them before you get to business.
Ben would probably comment on their costumes.
Yeah.
I could be like, I dig the look you got going on here.
We've got a guy. We can, I mean, like not for tonight, but we can set you up.
No, that's, I think I'm okay with this, but
cool.
It's good on you. It's good on you.
Thanks, bro. And like, he's kind of looking a little like he's trying that out also. And definitely like showing some like the, oh, that was nice sort of thing.
John is awkward off to one side.
Yeah. Leah looks stressed out. She's got like the, like a paper like plan with like just pencil written on it because technopaths sometimes trust technology, and when they want to do something secretive, they do not trust technology because they know. I mean, they found another kid that has techno powers, so there's definitely some people in the city. And so she's saying like, okay, so this is kind of a big one. This is a cool one, all right? And she just like holds out, she like hands out like pieces of paper with the kind of like some information on them. It's got like a map drawn out. And she says, there is a underwater facility just off the coast of Protean City. We've been looking at it and kind of getting some information on it. And it's more or less hidden from the public. And Jamie says, yeah, hidden from the public. They've been really covering this one for a while. So we've been worried about what it could mean. But now that we know, we decided we had to move on it quickly. And she says, this is a Falcon base. Now, don't freak out.
John is actually going to perk up at that. So John like is on board with doing things to Falcon because he is not does not feel like the warm and fuzzies about them.
Yeah,
and so as soon as he hears that this is us, maybe going to go like poke around in a Falcon base, he's been awkwardly off to one side as these like three siblings are kind of like connecting with each other.
Yeah,
and he's just been like kicking at stones and kicking stuff off the side of the pier or whatever. And as soon as that pops up, he's like, nope, I'm in. These people are, this is good. And that's when he puts his mask on and like does the, like he pulls something, like just moves his hand over his face, pulls the hood up. The antlers kind of appear magically between panels and he's got the mask on.
Nice. And I think at that, we do get like a panel that shows Jamie like seeing that and just going, giving like a, oh,
yeah. Nice. Like, I don't know if they had made the connection that I was Puck.
Yeah.
They probably haven't.
They probably hadn't. This is your friend that you brought.
Because when they saw us before, yeah, they may, I don't know how closely they had followed us, but yeah, they probably had not made, they saw Puck in combat, and it, they might have assumed, but they didn't know for sure.
Yeah, they're a little flagrant about stuff. Like, they have helmets that theoretically cover their identity, but they don't give an F.
Yeah.
And so they wouldn't expect anyone else to either. But Jamie kind of going like, oh, nice, we've got magic hitting boy on our side.
Yeah.
Leah continues to explain. She says, so we were just kind of planning on monitoring, maybe seeing if we could get some little bits of spy tech in or something like that. But we've learned that this facility is used for holding mutants. As you both assuredly know, Falcon has an interest in controlling those of us who have powers because they're worried that a lot of us are dangerous. And this place is illegally detaining people with powers. So we thought we'd go get them out.
Puck has been kind of just sidling over and kind of like looking at this plan map. Just like eyeballing it, like glancing over it. And he's going to say, do you have any idea who's down there?
We've got a couple that we know about. Not all of them are the nicest, but none of them have gotten any sort of a fair trial or fair chance. They've been picked off the street or commandeered from the police. He starts pulling out like a couple like photographs and shows some of the people.
We definitely recognize one of them.
Yeah, one of them.
It's the woman who she didn't have a name. Oh, but we recognize her. Who looked over? She was just doing the supervising during the boardwalk cleanup.
She's definitely one of them. Who, as far as you know, doesn't even really have dangerous powers.
Yeah, exactly.
There's a young woman who has like some electric abilities that just sort of like that spark off of her and things like that. She can kind of like run on electricity. And there is the very famous older hero Windshear, and a couple of other like they've got like probably 8 or 9 different mutants that are in this detention center.
As soon as John sees this picture of Windshear, he's gonna feel some feels.
Okay.
Feel some things. Yeah. He's pissed off because as much as Windshear deserves to be in jail for the things that he did, he deserves to get a trial.
Okay.
And John like believes that. And this is just Falcon doing what Falcon does. And like the other people, like he feels strongly about, but like he has some strong emotions about Windshear, and also has now like he has some weird conflicted emotions about Windshear because he's both like he knows the adult Windshear and is like and all the danger and people he's hurt, but he's also still got some of those like really clear memories from Federico from when they were in the past of those like protective emotions.
Yeah.
And he's been seeing younger Windshear kind of as a real person now, and so it's been trying to like messing with his like very clear like picture of what Windshear is and what Windshear does.
Yeah.
And Puck is going to turn away from the plan mm-hmm. and kick the tire of this car they've got.
Yeah.
Pretty hard. Not hard enough that it like is gonna like just enough that it like maybe moves the car a little bit. Like because John is like kind of strong.
Yeah.
And he's like, and he's gonna turn to the group and he's like, all right, so we're gonna go in.
Yeah.
And John is gonna start booking it down the pier.
Where is he going?
And just dive off into the water.
Frequency?
And start swimming for this base.
This is sometimes this is just what he does. I mean, if you're ready to go, we should just go. It's going to be easier than trying to get him to come back.
Yeah. So Loadout has like leaned down next to the tire of the car and like quickly put her hands on it and just moved things a little bit, and the tire just kind of like it hadn't popped, but the tire itself, not the tire, the wheel itself had kind of like bent in a little bit, and she just like pulls that out. And she goes ahead and moves around to the driver's seat of the car and like gestures for you like, come on, get in.
Don't we have to go out in the water?
And the next panel just shows the car just like hurling off the pier with like the classic Star Wars like, woo, yeah, coming out from it. And the car is underwater.
Was that enough of a foolhardy action without talking to my team to mark or to clear insecure?
I think so, because you're going, I think so.
Because I'm going to follow it up with busting into this base, whichever way I feel is the most obvious, and not whichever way they had planned.
Basically,
previously.
We're going to give you a panel that you're in, that you're getting there first. That'll be good.
Okay.
So we get a panel that shows like, that shows the three Schultzes inside. And Loadout is like, messing with some stuff in the car and kind of like moving her hand around, and she was like, I thought I was gonna have a little more time. Are we sinking? We're sinking. And Upload is going, it's okay, here, hold on, let me get in there. And he just dives into the front dashboard, and just like there's like fizzling effects around him, and then you can hear his voice through the radio, and his body's gone, and he's like, okay, I'm messing with things. I'm trying to get things going in here. This was not supposed to be such a quick change. Are you going to have to go out there?
Can you still see him?
Yeah, can you?
I probably can.
Because you can see frequencies.
Yeah.
I probably can't see him. Like, it's not like he's still there and invisible.
Yeah.
But if I sort of reach out with my powers, I can probably sort of visualize him.
Yeah.
Like in my image. Like if I try tapping into this vehicle,
you'll find him.
I can probably find him and like picture him standing, like the way I sort of visualize the actual like file system of things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Think Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like he's like physically there.
He's like
somewhere.
Physically like walking around in
That's
there.
Cool.
Like
nice.
Like changing settings is him like pulling switches and things.
Nice. Yeah, so we've got like we've got a panel that maybe shows him in kind of like the cyber world thing,
yeah,
doing all that sort of stuff as he's quickly moving around. Loadout turns to you, and her eyes are kind of wide, like she acted impulsively because Buck acted impulsively, and she's like, listen, do you mind steering for a moment? The steering column doesn't work right now, but if you just do your thing, I'm going to go outside and make the changes we need.
Yeah, sure.
Cool. And she like
cool.
slams her her helmet on, and just like we get a panel that shows her just like opening the door, like opening a hole in the door that is literally just big enough for her to get through, because she's just kind of like chunking it outward as she is moving through it. And she's like outside the car doing things to the car as you are there.
Oh, okay.
And then we get the picture of, then we get a panel with Puck.
Mm-hmm.
Puck.
Yes.
Great job. you're very fast, right?
Yes.
Okay. So I think we get a couple of panels of you just sort of like swimming quickly through the water. And
it's
we
a
get
a lot of probably like kicking.
Yeah. And we get like some, we get a couple of fish that are like hanging around. We get a weird mutant bullfrog that's kind of just swimming mm-hmm. through the water and looking at you weirdly.
Weird.
Yeah, no, it's pretty standard for Protean City. Yeah. It's got the horns. It has its wings just kind of like on its back, right. Like folded down. Bullfrog.
Look, I know what a bullfrog is. I don't need to explain what a bullfrog is.
That's true. And then the next panel, you see this base.
Mm-hmm.
So it's fully submerged, right? Mm-hmm. And like you've got to swim down a decent amount, but this is a comic, and so people can just kind of see underwater, and there's no problems
forever,
with that.
Yeah.
It has a low dome structure on top.
Okay.
Clearly like some sort of thing so people can like look up, and because if you've got an underwater base, you may as well enjoy some of it. But it mostly is burrowed down into the ground.
Okay.
And I say burrowed down because it has turbines all around the exterior of it that so like it might be mobile. It might be that it was put here and it needed the turbines for that. But it's huge. And most of the outside doesn't have like windows other than that dome at the top. And you can see that there is a small entryway as you're coming towards it that looks like where vehicles would drive into. Presumably they like go in, stop, drain the water, all that. But basically like a little like loading bay. What do you do?
So if I wanted to get to the loading bay, I'd have to go down past the dome. Yes. Presumably the dome is a little higher. So yeah. I am going straight for the dome.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. So you're headed towards the dome. You are, when you get to the dome, you can see in a little bit and no one is looking for you.
Yeah.
This is a really secure location, but like part of its secureness is that no one knows that it's there.
Yeah.
It's really like thick glass,
mm-hmm.
but you can look down and see that inside it's very precise, very steel.
Mm-hmm.
There are some people walking around that are in like the very crisp Falcon clothing.
Yeah.
You cannot see it. It doesn't look like a jail from here.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like a military base with like some like offices and some setups and stuff. Like you can see down. Like from where, like if you circled around, you could see down a little bit closer to where the vehicles would actually be coming in, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. So I think we get one shot of as John makes it to this dome,
mm-hmm.
where he kind of like lands on it,
yeah.
and like gets his feet settled down and is probably like kneeling on it, and he just like winds up for one big punch. And it's like really not enough because this is thick glass.
Yeah.
He's strong, but he's not that strong.
Okay. Yeah, there's some pressure to deal with underwater as well, I think.
And so, how can I get in without ruining everything?
Without ruining everything for me or without ruining everything for you?
For me.
Okay, because I was going to say, my section on the outline for this is they go to the base.
Yeah. No, so I think that what he's going to do is he is going to spawn some, like tap a couple places on, like maybe five or so places on this glass and summon some of the little fairies and instruct them to start like trying to like etch their way, like laser etch kind of their way through, like cut a circle.
Okay.
That's like just big enough for him to fit through.
Okay.
And he's going to figure out how to like, hopefully they can just like pull it out and drag it off and then plug it back in and lock it when he gets through and like water is going to come through.
Yeah. The emphasis is on hopefully.
Hopefully. Right. But like, that's the plan. Or that hopefully he's going to worry about Falcon hopefully has a way to solve this problem that he's going to cause. Like, that's their problem.
Okay. Sounds good. Go ahead and roll to, unleash your powers.
So that's a six.
Okay. Does that include your freak?
My freak is plus one. So that's five plus one.
So we get a panel that shows them starting to like drill, weld through the stuff. This isn't quite silly enough of a comic to have them like putting on welder's masks. But it is silly enough of a comic that like as they're doing the grinding, there is like the definite sparks coming up.
Yeah.
They're starting to cut through and like it's looking like it's starting to form the nice shape for it. And then Puck feels a tap on his shoulder and there's a guy in like, it's the Falcon gear, but like submersible. This is this is the underwater Falcon action suit gear that you're able to get.
Yeah.
And he like taps on the shoulder and then just puts his arms up like, what the hell are you doing? And there's like four guys there with him. And they all have what look kind of like police batons.
Mm-hmm.
But along the edge of the police baton is like crackling electricity stuff.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Puck is going to turn to them and like point at himself like in the exaggerated gestures that people have to do underwater.
Yeah.
And then he's going to point in to the thing and he is going to start punching this this glass again in the little circle where he's been, where his things have not quite been etching their way through. Like obviously I'm like yeah, the, I'm his answer in. To what are you doing here is I'm going in.
And they like the guy in front just like waves his hands in front of you and goes like throws up like a cross no gesture and points down to where the vehicles would come in and then just like makes like a praying gesture at you and then back down at the entry bay. And I think that's where we're going to leave you for now.
Okay.
Because right now there's some vehicle movement happening.
Yes.
So you're in a sinking car.
Yep.
It's moving pretty quickly.
Yep.
Your brother is inside the radio.
Yep.
Or inside the car.
The car system.
Yeah.
Yep.
And your sister is outside turning this thing into a submarine.
Yep.
So she's moving pretty quickly through these different things in terms of like moving along, like changing the wheels, things like that. But you now also, like there's a little screen on it and a little icon for that shows your brother is in it. Because of course they have that.
Yeah.
It's the upload symbol. It's the uploading symbol. Yeah. And you're in theory driving this car. As you're coming down, like you're starting to get some more control of it.
Okay.
But this wasn't where they intended to go into the water. And like, there's like a big shelf of rock sticking out that your car is heading towards.
Okay.
What do you do?
So am I steering it right now or I'm sitting in it as it's just
you're sitting in
down.
It as it's coming down.
Yeah.
You have like okay. Her hope is that you're able to control it without things being connected.
Okay. So I'm going to try and sort of tap into it. Cause she said like mechanically you can't really steer it, but the electronics should be good too. So I'm going to try doing my frequency thing.
Cool.
And tap into it and take control and do it.
Yeah. And so I'm just going to ask you, how well does this go? Like, is this smooth sailing? Everything's nice. Or is this like a last minute turn to the side?
I think it actually goes really well.
Nice.
As she's doing things outside, I'm sort of controlling things. Like if she needed to like plug something in, it turns towards her.
Yeah.
So she doesn't have to reach as far.
Yeah.
In it, he's like running around through a bunch of things, like trying to adjust, like adjust settings. Like, And I like rearrange the file system. So it's all right there for him. And he just like boop, 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 boop.
Yeah.
So like showing.
And like there's lots of audibles going back and forth. Like, she can communicate with him, but they're not communicating with you yet unless you've patched in, which you probably can do. You are frequency.
I can do, but probably not yet.
And so he's like relaying information from her and like saying to her like, all right, he's about to swing the left tire in and all right, there you go. And just like a lot of just well-oiled machine kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And as you come around like a corner around some jagged, huge rocks that would have destroyed your car as it's becoming more and more like a submarine. At this point, it's pretty submarine looking. Loadout pops the trunk and just kind of like climbs into the trunk and slams it shut, drains the water out from the back of the trunk.
Okay.
And like moves aside the back seat so that she can be back in the cabin with you.
Okay.
Have the wheels flipped and turned sideways?
So oh yeah. The wheels have propellers. Definitely. Okay. Yeah. The wheels have flipped, turned sideways to become propellers.
And now
this. It is pretty obviously a car. But it is functioning like a submarine.
Yeah.
It has the little stacks sticking out the front have become a periscope. Although you've got the front window also. Like,
yeah.
Things are... But it is a car that is turned into a submarine. It also has, like, so many weapons on it. It's got like some big, it has like full-on big torpedoes on the sides. Like she likes weapons.
I can tell.
Yeah.
I can tell.
And it, of course it's in the colors, like it's in the kind of green and black colors that the two of them use.
Yeah.
And so she comes back in and she's like kind of like drying her hair off with a towel and saying, "Hey, that was nice driving there. Thanks for not scraping me off of the bottom of this thing."
Yeah, you're welcome, sis.
Is that your friend? And we get like a panel out the front window that shows the four Falcon agents, and like they've got, let's say, they've got like little like underwater
Don't say they're on little underwater scooter things.
That's kind of what I wanted to be, is little underwater scooter things.
It's like it's the front of a jet ski, but yeah. There's no body of the jet ski. Like a handle. It's there's a James Bond movie that has that.
Yeah, that's what like I was taking it from.
That you can hold on to and it pulls you forward.
Yeah,
so I just don't want them to be like have a seat that they're sitting on.
No, they don't have a seat. They've got like a foot, like a stirrup foot thing that their foot goes into.
Yeah.
And like you can see like big hand gestures between them and like little sparks coming up from the window. Loadout just goes, "Well, there goes our element of surprise."
Well, yeah, but if they're all distracted on him, we may be able to get in here.
Nice. And so we see like the submarine kind of like just they turn off the headlights and the submarine just like starts diving and moving down.
Yeah.
And I think we're going to jump back to Puck for a moment.
Okay.
So he would really like you to go down to the loading bay.
Yeah, yeah, no. And at this point, Puck is like running out of oxygen because he still breathes. He's just been holding his breath this whole time. And so he is going to signal for the guy to like give him his air breather thing.
Yeah.
Because he can't breathe.
Yeah.
And he's going to gesture that like, "I can't respond to you. I can't breathe. Symbol. Like, give me, like, lend me some oxygen real quick, and then I'll go with you."
Okay. Go ahead and roll to provoke.
Okay. That's plus superior.
Guys, I promised a silly fun comic, and I think we're getting it.
It's 5, 6, 7. Superior is 1. So, 8.
Okay. So, on an... On a 7 to 9, they can instead choose 1. They stumble, you take +1 forward against them. They err, you gain a critical opportunity. Or they overreact, you gain influence over them. So they, like, the guy sees this, and, like, you can see his eyes through the helmet, and you can see him kind of like, "Oh, this is a problem." He turns to the other guys, he turns to the other agents, and, like, reaches up to his mask and, like, gives them a shrug, and they give shrugs back, and like they're trying to like find something in like see if they have like an extra breather, but like the one that they have is very much inside the helmet. Yeah. Like they're definitely stumbling. You've got a +1 forward against them.
Okay.
So what do you do?
Oh God. Okay.
These poor guys became AIM so quickly.
I want to try to spin in place, like do some like super speed stuff.
Okay.
And create a little bit of a whirlwind, like a whirlpool thing.
Okay.
To just like blow them up and off the top of the dome.
Okay.
To give myself some space.
Yeah. Some breathing room.
Yeah, some breathing room. Because now it is time for me to try to actually go for the airlock, because this is not working. I'm not getting through this glass.
Okay. Go ahead and roll to unleash your powers.
Yeah. Nice. So that's a 12 plus 1 is 13 plus 1 for the plus 1 because they stumbled. So nice. They have sort of like taken their eyes off me for a moment because they're looking at each other for breathing apparatuses, and they've like lowered the shocking sticks.
Yeah.
And that gives me a little bit of the room I need to like stand up quickly and start to like spin in place.
Yeah.
And create that whirlpool.
Yeah. And we definitely do get a panel that shows one of them noticing you and pointing, but the three of other ones are kind of like hand gesture. Oh no, they can talk to each other. Yeah. They're talking to each other, but like trying to work something out. And like he points at you, and then all of them look and then are just like whoom, shot up into the air by the whirlpool.
And I want to try to grab one of their like propellant, like the little scooter things before it blows away.
Nice. Yeah. Well, those are probably technological sorts of things that are meant to stay in place.
Stabilize in the water. Okay.
So yeah, they all kind of like rock back and forth for a moment, but there's four of them. Mm-hmm. You've got your pick.
And I'm going to grab one and I'm going to head down towards the airlock.
Cool.
Hopefully maybe even the same, not maybe the same one that they were going towards. I don't know if there's another closer one that look, if they were going around to the other edge of the thing. Like John would not be going towards where he sees them. He's just trying to get inside.
Yeah, yeah. What do you think? Do you think there's more than one airlock opening or just one entrance?
I mean, there's definitely more than one.
Yeah.
Okay.
For sure.
Yeah. I guess it comes down to would you like so if we there was a dome and John was like on the top side of the dome and there was an airlock right by him, would you guys have used that as an excuse to sneak around to a further side one to take advantage of my distraction?
Probably not. We would have gone. We would have gone for that one.
Okay.
Okay. Cool.
Anyway. Yeah.
Then yeah, John will end up down by the same airlock.
Awesome. So once you so you pull up down towards like the airlock and there's a security system, and like you're currently outside of its view, but Upload looks to you and goes, "Hey, mind showing us what you got?"
All right, yeah. So I'll try hacking in there and seeing if I can get that open.
Nice. All right, let's see and unleash your powers. That's a 10 on the dice.
That's a 10.
Nice. All right. So, what does that look like? I guess we get your waves, and then it depends what the security system is. Are you opening it up and getting on in?
Yeah, I don't. You know,
yeah.
It's a.
Probably. It's all mechanized. There's not a guy sitting there to do
exactly,
it.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, it's something that people come in and out all the time. So it's probably almost just as simple as like a garage door. Like it's you just push the button and it opens, push it and it closes. Yeah.
Except that you've got to have a code to come in that is like mechanically put in. And,
yeah.
And you've got that, of course.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so you just drift on in and, So let's just make. Oh, so you're going to the same one, right?
We're going to the same one. So I'm sure, like we almost probably open it in advance.
Yeah,
so you can.
Actually, I probably think the way it works is that you guys
you probably get there a tiny bit before.
Yeah, oh, okay. And you've started to close it, and like right as it's about to close, John slides
in. Oh, okay. Yeah, sorry, perfect. And so then the water drains down out, and the system goes, "Welcome home, Agent Gibson." And they kind of look to each other and go, "Hope Agent Gibson doesn't get fired. All right, let's go check stuff out." And you are in, so you're briefly in that little loading space that just drains the water out. And you're there's no need to even, let's actually say Frequency is able to key card through.
Okay.
You know, just tap the thing and it opens. Yeah. There are some, no one is supposed to be down here.
John does a very like animal like shaking off to dry himself. He's like weirdly animal like when he is in costume. Puck does that, yes.
Okay. Loadout is about to throw you a towel and then kind of just like Puck looks just, down like, at it.
And shakes off a little bit and
tosses the towel back in the car.
No, instead Loadout just wipes herself.
Yeah,
down.
just wipes.
Yeah.
Like I have the towel to dry the dog off, and now I need it to dry me off.
All right. Perfect. Puck the dog. What if? Yep. Puck the dog. So now you are in the Falcon facility. So the plan is that you have to get down to the security center, right?
Mm. We have to get down to the detention level.
The detention level, exactly. Yep. It might be worthwhile to generate team right now because time has passed. So you're down to one team again.
Yep.
Yeah.
So I think that this, because of the way some of this rolling will be happening, it's worthwhile to generate the team early.
Okay.
Okay.
So, who's the leader in this team?
Not Puck.
Not Ben either.
Loadout?
I want to say Loadout, yeah, because she had the plan.
Cool. Yeah, I think between the two of them, she is the leader of the two of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. If we had gotten down here and John had busted through that window real quick and kept moving, then he would have been the leader, in his mind at least, but his momentum got real stopped. Yeah,
because the guy shrugged at him. Oh, she has influence over everybody on the team
because
she's an adult. So, do you all have the same purpose in this fight?
No.
Do you want me to tell you the purpose and their purpose in the fight?
What's their purpose in the fight? But
their purpose in the fight is to let out all the mutants and basically make this base no longer functional.
That's awfully close.
Okay.
That's not what John's here to do, though.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah.
John is...
Now...
I'd love to hear what both of you... What your purpose is.
Ben still thinks it's a plan to let out and rescue these mutants.
Yes.
But in a sneaky, oh my gosh, what happened kind of way, not in a, like, now let's sink the whole thing and destroy this base and all that it stands for.
Destroying the base is not on your to-do list.
No. Okay. And I'm not aware that it's on their to-do list.
Yeah, they haven't talked about that. No. I think in their mind, that's assumed.
Yeah. John is here to ruin the base and also save some people.
So the two of you are each here for half of the plan.
I think that there's a distinction that I want to make, just in case it's relevant.
Okay.
That it sounds like, based off of what you just described, that they are here to, like, maybe implode the base or destroy it. And John isn't here to do that. Like, he doesn't want to kill these people.
Yeah.
He just wants to stop this being, like, a functional base that, like, he wants to throw a wrench into their plans.
Yeah, they intend to make the base non-functional. They don't intend to drown everybody inside.
And
we might all be on the same page.
But they want to rescue the mutants and then make the thing. John is making that distinction that he is here to make this Falcon base non-functional.
Yes. Okay.
And also unleash some mutants.
And so Frequency wants to save the mutants, but not the whole down with the whole base thing.
Okay, cool. So yeah, not on the same
page.
Not
on the same page.
And also, John doesn't want to necessarily unleash the mutants. He wants them back in police custody.
Oh, they want to unleash the mutants.
Okay. So that's a big difference.
Does any team member mistrust the leader or the team?
I don't imagine that they don't trust John.
Oh.
Because he just didn't listen to their plan and booked it off.
You're right. I think that at this point they're having some second thoughts about the team. But you've been very helpful.
Yeah.
You've been super functional.
Yay.
I mean, I was very helpful. I just...
Yeah. I don't think you're ill-prepared or off-balance.
We didn't get to do our planning scene, though.
We didn't get to do the planning scene, but they've done some planning ahead of time.
And we are now still mainly entering the base the way they intended, not through the gushing water hole that John intended.
Yeah, I think you still are good on that one. So you start with one, add two, add one for the leader having influence, and minus one for mistrusting the team. I'm going to specifically call out that that Upload is pretty pissed at John right now.
That's fair.
And
how many team was that?
Three. And I think actually while Loadout is trying to help Puck out, Upload is going to go to Frequency and say like, hey, man, what the hell was that?
I don't know. He's impulsive. I don't know, but he's good. We get the job done.
His head's in the game and everything?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay, man. If you trust him, I trust him. Let's handle this.
Okay.
And I think he's actually shifting your labels with that. If you trust him, I trust him. I think he is. Every time I say he's shifting your labels, Rob gives me a look of like, no, he isn't. He is trying to raise your superior and lower your danger.
Okay.
Okay.
Ooh.
All right. All righty. This is the first time Rob has accepted a shift.
My superior is already a +3, though.
Oh, so if you don't reject it...
I have to take a condition,
condition, yeah.
So the labels don't shift, I instead take...
Exactly,
that's fine. That's fine.
I would almost maybe think like guilty, insecure?
I was thinking insecure.
Insecure is like, kind of where I'm...
Yeah.
If there's any part of you that doesn't trust Puck, guilty makes a lot of sense.
Oh, see, I was thinking insecure because of one of those, I do trust you. But I know that stuff can go wrong.
Yeah.
All right, that's fair.
So not, I would feel guilty
if you were lying.
After the fact. Right now I'm insecure because I'm apprehensive about what may happen.
Cool.
Yeah. So
I told the truth, not the whole story.
That's right.
Okay, so here's how it's going to go down. When you infiltrate Falcon's underwater base, roll plus superior. So who would like to make this roll? It's going to be just for the team. Let's do this separately so that we can split up the team.
Okay.
Because that, I think, will be fun.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Because one of you is going to be going down to the detention level to get those mutants out. And the other is going to be going to the control system to make sure they can't see us and also to hobble the base.
Ugh.
John wants to go to the detention center.
Frequency would do either of those.
Okay.
Okay.
Cool.
So I'll go to the control center.
Cool. So
that makes more sense, I think.
Yeah. Anyway. Okay. Control center is getting upload.
Okay.
For same reason that frequency is a good choice.
That makes sense.
And I think loadout is going to the detention center because they're expecting more of a fight. And so like before loadout goes, she like sticks her hands into the car, into like the side of the car and like pulls out big like big machine car gun fists. Thing on one side and like big sword on the other. And like taps them together and goes like, all right, we going?
All right.
All right. So I'd like each of you to roll plus superior, but we can handle them in whichever order we'd like.
Ooh.
13.
13. All right.
7, 8, 9.
9. Okay. Not bad. Cool. Frequency. Tell me about the security systems that you came upon and how you and your brother deftly dealt with them.
These are very high-end security systems, very compartmentalized.
Yeah.
So even though there is a control center,
yeah,
it's not like there's one major system that controls everything.
Okay.
There is a system that controls water flow.
Okay.
And it can only control water flow.
Yeah.
And if you get into that system, you can only control water.
Okay.
Airflow, sonar, communications, everything is individualized. So if you want to access something, you have to hack every single individual thing. And they're not, it's not even like they're firewalled behind one another.
Okay.
They are entirely disconnected.
Okay.
So it's not super.
That entire disconnection thing is going to be also an issue for upload because he can only move through things when they're physically connected.
Yeah. But what helps is that Ben has played around in Falcon stuff before.
Yeah.
And even though Falcon was hand-holding and dropping firewalls left and right, Ben knows what's behind different firewalls.
Okay.
And Ben knows what kinds of security features they have.
Yeah.
So he's been, you know, he's basically been practicing. Like he's been like retro programming these, reverse engineering it and being like, all right, if I need to get into this and they're not playing ball, what's the best way that I can do this?
Yeah. Nice. Cool. So because you rolled a 10 plus, you also take influence over upload.
Oh, okay.
Because basically you came to problems that he couldn't solve and you solved them. And so he's going like, all right, yeah, my brother's got this. This is awesome. Actually, you know what? I'm going to give you a choice. Do you want to take away influence from him or take influence over him?
I think for now, take influence over him.
Okay, cool. All right. And so we get a couple of panels that show you like coming to different mechanical problems and just like dealing with them and him going like, these aren't connected physically. I can't. And you're like, mental abilities.
Yep.
Yeah. And then we get a shot of you like going into the control room and there's just a single human in there that is in like one of the pressed suits and he looks up and sees the two of you. And he's immediately starting to reach for the alarm. What do you do?
I'm just going to just run at him and try and take him down.
Give me that panel where you take out this guy.
It's not anything cool. It's not anything superhero-y.
Yeah.
Because it's just literally like a 16-year-old kid running at a guy and jumping at him trying to knock him down.
Yeah.
And okay, cool. Yeah, like good for you, but it's not superhero-y. It's not flashy. It's not like puck fighting where it's like every limb is locked in place in a cool pose. It's just like fumbling like, I'm so sorry.
and then I think upload at the same time like runs in there and ends up like you end up getting the guy down and upload just like punches him hard in the head once.
Ouch.
And like stands up shaking his hand out and going like, all right, we've got the base. Hope Sis is doing as well as we are. Hey, Puck.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about a security system that you came upon that you weren't able to deal with and had to be dealt with by loadout.
So I think that we are sneaking through the base.
Yeah.
And we get to the doorway, basically, to the holding cells.
Yeah.
And there is there's a big sliding door that's what like keeps them like both people in and out and stuff like that. And there's a person there. It's not like a digital system.
Okay.
And there is a person there, and so there's a moment where, again, Loadout pauses, like as we like peek around the corner. And Puck doesn't stop. He doesn't pause. Like, that's not how he does things.
Yeah.
And so he is going to walk up to this guy and kind of, like, do, like, a, hey, I forgot my my badge. Like, can I just borrow yours real quick and go to, like, reach for him?
Yeah.
And do the accidental catch people off guard, like, make physical contact, do the memory manipulation thing. And he gets inside this guy's mind a little bit.
Yeah.
But it's rushed because he's still just like a little bit out of breath because he held his breath for a long time.
Yeah.
And the guy is able to like flail and hit the door button.
Yeah.
Which starts off the door starts to open maybe even a little bit, but only a little bit. And it sets off an alarm because that just always triggers.
Yeah.
And so, Loadout has to like run in behind and there are another couple guards that show up like, on the other side of the door.
Yeah.
And so she has to, like, grab the guy away from me because Puck is also, like, he's kind of in a mental place. He's not in a physical space when he's doing that. And so she has to, like, physically disconnect us. And then she pulls out, like, something. Like, I don't know.
She's got, like, a laser cannon of some kind.
Yeah, something that she can like blast these people and like basically I was prepared to take down one guy, but I was not prepared to set off just to stop this alarm and then two more people. And so she had to like physically protect me.
Okay, cool. Yeah. So she blasts a bunch of people aside. She's not killing these people, presumably. She's hitting them with laser blasts, which in comics doesn't kill people.
Yeah.
And so on a 7 to 9, you can choose to mark a condition or let her take influence over you, which would cause her to shift your labels.
I think I would let her take influence over me.
Okay.
Let her shift my labels.
So she is going to lower your superior and raise your danger.
Okay.
So we get a panel that shows you like in the mental space and like the door starting to open and just like the rifles from the guards pointed at you, and then her like just like appearing at your shoulder. How tall is John?
He's pretty short.
Okay, so she's like,
he's exceedingly average.
Okay,
he's not as average as the asset, but he's very average.
Okay, so she's probably like she's like looking over your shoulder, like not like peeking, but like just looking over the shoulder, probably similar height of you, and she just like looks up and goes, cancel that alarm, and takes out the guards and just like puts her hand on where the door alarm was set off and just starts like dragging her fingers through it until it stops doing what it's doing.
Yeah, she says, we're all fine down here. We're fine. How are you?
Can I?
Maybe that's going on over the heads because now you four have to be connected, right? At least the three of them are. I don't know if Puck would be.
Oh, yeah, we've definitely got communication.
Oh, yeah,
because
you've got patched in,
yeah.
Oh, yeah, and I have the same cell phone thing.
Yeah, so we get a panel that shows both of you, like, kind of getting to your set places, right? And so you're coming down into this detention center, and it has basically a spiraling, really, like, mostly flat ramp going down with all sorts of like really specialized containment centers.
Yeah.
And you can see like there's some people that are able to like get towards the edge, but most of them aren't able to. It's all sorts of tech stuff going on. And it goes down. You can probably see like this. You came in looking for 8 people. This detention center is way bigger than that.
Mm-hmm.
There could be hundreds of mutants held down there. So you and Loadout are just looking down over that, and she kind of like shakes her hands, and the laser blaster turns into like 4 laser blasters, and the sword gets a second sword, and she's like, "All right, you ready to do this?" And in the control center, we have Upload starting to like move around outside, starting to change some things, set some stuff up, looking at all the different levels, and going like, all right, we're going to have to get through this security system, but then we can pull it all down. And one of the screens that pops open shows the inside of Windshear's cell. Now, it's no longer the same place at this point, because we know from our interstitial that he escaped from his previous one. And so instead, what we now see is there are 8 Falcon agents, all wearing like thick, heavy armor. And he is laid out on a surgery table. And each of them is holding one of those shocking batons onto his body. And like there is a guy that is unconscious in the corner. All of the agents have like their armor is busted. And Windshear is letting out a scream of just deafening pain and horror.
Puck, Windshear is here. Oh my God. Puck, they're killing him. We've got to stop this.
Protean City Comics is a production of the Stop, Hack, and Roll podcast network. It is produced and edited by James Malloy. This issue was emceed by Brandon Leon Gambetta, who can be found on Twitter at Dr. Captain Cobalt. Frequency is played by Rob Harvey, who can be found on Twitter at rharvey1211. Puck is played by James Malloy, who can be found on Twitter at andthemeltdowns. The introduction is voiced by Peter DiGilio. All music was composed by Jim Malloy. Masks, A New Generation, is a game by Brendan Conway and published by Magpie Games. This podcast is created thanks to the financial support of backers at patreon.com/stophackandroll. Join us on our Discord at discord.stophackandroll.com. Follow us on Twitter at Protean City and on Instagram at Protean City Comics. Subscribe to Protean City Comics on iTunes or anywhere podcasts are found. Join us next Wednesday to find out what thrilling adventures lie ahead.